Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Advent, Happy New Year, a new season in the church. It is November 29th, the first Monday of Advent. Hope you're doing well this Monday morning. We'll see what the Holy Father had to say to us about Advent. That will be coming up in the news, and we have a busy show for you today. Great guests, of course. We always try to do that every day to keep you informed. Right off the bat, after the break, we are going to be speaking with Mallory Quigley. She's the VP of Communications of the Susan B. Anthony List, and they're very, very involved in getting the word out about the importance of this case coming up on Wednesday in the Supreme Court. We'll have more on that in the news, and Catholic News Agency, Matt Hadro, has a great report on this at CatholicNewsAgency.com. It's really great the work that the Susan B. Anthony List does, but especially this week, they've got a campaign going out there with three beautiful ads talking about, three spots talking about the baby, the baby, the baby, following the science, the development of the baby in the womb. Because this is this issue that's going to be coming up this week in this key case. They have a doctor that is featured who, prior to his conversion, he doesn't mention the faith conversion, but he talks about being converted on the issue of abortion. He talks about the development of the baby. And another doctor, another OBGYN, talking about what they know now about the baby as it's growing in the womb. And then the third spot is also very, very effective from a young woman who was adopted. And she's talking about following the science. They're all talking about following the science, truly following the science and the reality of the child and what happens. And they're really, really well done. And hopefully we can play one of those for you. But overall, we'll be talking with Mallory about the efforts to educate people about what Roe v. Wade gave us. And so many people do not know how extreme. I mean, every abortion is extreme. But with Roe v. Wade, it gave us abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. And you think, if you're involved in the pro-life movement, that everybody knows this. Not the case, even in pro-life circles. So we'll talk with Mallory. That's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. Our friend Jim Kavnar from Cross Catholic Outreach. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, so there's an opportunity to make a real difference to the great work they do at Cross Catholic Outreach. And he joins us about the Box of Joy and giving us a little bit more detail. And then we'll wrap up with Gail Buckley, as we always do on Mondays. And Gail's going to be talking to us about 1 Corinthians, our scripture verse of the week, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen to that. So that is our program for this Monday as we begin Advent. We start with Mallory Quigley from the Susan B. Anthony List, then Jim Kavnar from Cross Catholic Outreach, and again, Gail Buckley, and our scripture verse of the week. So how's the weather out there? What can you expect? Well, there's some real problems in the northwest in terms of some storms that are causing mudslides and whatnot and some flooding. Other than that, though, it is pretty quiet. Periods of heavy rain. Let's see what's going on. That's about it, really. Periods of heavy rain on top of already saturated soils leading to additional flooding and continued threats of landslides across western Washington state. A series of weather systems originating in Canada producing areas of snow and lake effect snow across the Great Lakes and Northeast. Santa Ana winds will warm Southern California and keep fire weather threats elevated. So overall, you've got some problems out there in the Northwest, but maybe some snow here and there, but nothing major across the nation. And we do hope that you're safe and that the weather is calm wherever you're at. Right now, 4 minutes past the hour, let's get to the news and see what's happening on a Monday in the first week of Advent 2021. Well, Pope Francis says an essential ingredient for living an alert and joyful life is prayer. As Thaddeus Jones from Vatican News explains, in his message from above St. Peter's Square yesterday, the Holy Father told believers to be awake, guard their hearts, and that again, the secret to being watchful is indeed prayer. The Pope making the plea yesterday, the first Sunday of Advent.
Reflecting on the Gospel reading for the first Sunday of Advent, which speaks to us about the Lord's coming at the end of time, Pope Francis says we're invited to be hopeful as the Lord comes to save us. We await Him with joy, even in the midst of life's trials and tribulations.
Gesù ci indica la via con un richiamo forte.
At the same time, the Pope recognized the challenge of remaining focused on our redemption when day-to-day challenges and suffering can overwhelm us. He recalled the words of Jesus that we must not fall asleep and be vigilant at all times and pray. This vigilance is a key aspect of Christian life, he noted, and it requires that we remain alert and avoid distraction from what's really important in life.
Abbiamo bisogno di vigilare per non trascinare le giornate nell'abitudine.
Vigilance means not letting our daily life become just a routine or becoming preoccupied only with worldly concerns, the Pope went on to say, encouraging us to reflect on what weighs on our own spirit, causing us to fall into the lazy chair or mediocrity or succumb to vices that prevent us from raising our heads. He also suggested we look at the burdens that weigh on the shoulders of those around us and ask if we're aware of it and are doing something about it. This will all help us avoid falling into apathy, something he described as a negative spirit that traps the soul and takes away its joy. As the book of Proverbs says, "With all vigilance, guard your heart, for in it are the sources of life."
As we mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court on Wednesday, December 1st, hearing arguments in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. This concerns, as Catholic News Agency tells us, Mississippi's ban on most abortions after 15 weeks. The court will be taking up the question of whether all bans on pre-viability abortions are unconstitutional. Legal experts say the case presents an ideal opportunity for the Supreme Court to reconsider previous rulings that upheld legal abortions nationwide. There's no known change in the situation for 15 missionaries who remain hostage in Haiti. The missionaries are working with Christian Aid Ministries to set up an orphanage when they were kidnapped by a Haitian gang back on October 16th. The gang is still demanding $1 million for each hostage. The Christian Aid Ministries organization saying members are comforted by the assurance that God is with them. Opening statements getting underway today in New York City in the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss announcing the charges against a longtime confidant of disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein back in July.
Maxwell played a critical role in helping Epstein to identify, befriend, and groom minor victims for abuse. In some cases, Maxwell participated in the abuse herself.
She's accused of grooming underage girls for the late Epstein, who died in prison in 2019. Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to the charges brought against her, and she's been behind bars since her arrest awaiting trial. No cameras will be allowed in the courtroom. A security guard shot while protecting a San Francisco TV crew during the robbery of an Oakland store died of his injuries over the weekend. Before working as a security guard, Kevin Nishida was a sergeant of the Colma Police Department in San Mateo County, where his commander said he was always energetic.
And he always thought he was going on an emergency call, but come to find out, he was just simply going to his office or grabbing a cup of coffee. You know, that was Kevin. He was always on the go and always on the move.
The guard shot as a group of men tried to rob the news crew of its television camera last Wednesday. KRON TV VP and General Manager Jim Rose issuing a statement expressing devastation over the loss and saying their deepest sympathy goes to Kevin's wife, his children, his family, and to all his friends and colleagues. A reward is now being offered for information leading to the arrest of the person who killed Nishida. And four men have been arrested in connection with Friday night's flash mob robbery at a Home Depot outside Beverly Hills, California. A group of people rushing into the store stealing $400 worth of sledgehammers, crowbars and mallets, and this employee says they were also threatening customers.
They were holding up the hammers and they just said, like, get out of their way, and they were just saying that they would hurt you.
The men arrested by Beverly Hills police on Saturday, a few hours after they allegedly hit the Home Depot. Those types of tools, meanwhile, have been used in a series of smash and grab robberies in Beverly Hills and other areas with high-end shops this month. Investigators say they were brand new tools in the suspect's car. Several additional suspects are still on the loose, as witnesses say about 20 people rushed in and stole merchandise from the Home Depot. The U.S. is restricting air travel from South Africa and seven other nearby countries over concern about a new COVID variant, as Alice Barr reports.
This morning, the race to contain a concerning new COVID variant sparking more travel bans. Overnight, Japan joining Israel and announcing it will bar all foreigners from entering the country. Morocco halting all inbound flights.
The newly identified Omicron variant first detected in South Africa. The World Health Organization, though, is expressing great dismay at the moves, calling on countries to follow the science and avoid travel bans that place what it calls heavy burden on lives and livelihoods. A woman could be in some trouble, as Natalie Rodriguez tells us, with the law after allegedly assaulting two flight attendants with Spirit Airlines.
42-year-old Amanda Henry is accused of assaulting multiple flight attendants, punching one and pulling another's hair. She was restrained with zip ties by fellow passengers on the flight Saturday from Fort Lauderdale to Tennessee. While she reportedly admitted to police that she'd been drinking a lot, flight crew did not wish to press charges. However, the airline says in statement they will work with the relevant authorities to, quote, ensure this individual is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
The 8 days and nights of Hanukkah underway. It's a Jewish wintertime festival of light celebrated with a nightly menorah lighting, special prayers, and foods. The holiday also reminds Jews to be a light to the world. Hanukkah commemorating the rededication of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem and miraculous military victory. The name Hanukkah comes from the Hebrew verb meaning to dedicate. Hanukkah began last evening and ends the evening of December 6th. And Mark Mayfield tells us shoppers are getting ready to rack up on the best deals today, which is Cyber Monday.
Shoppers expect to spend almost $1,000 on gifts this holiday season, which is around where 2019 levels were. While clothing, shoes, and beauty items were big-ticket items on Black Friday, Cyber Monday is all about electronics and travel. Experts say some of the best deals may come when walking away from your online cart. You might find that within 48 hours, you may have emails enticing you with better offers.
Congress facing a government funding deadline as it returns to work this week. The government running out of money on December 3rd. Another short-term funding extension could happen as Democrats try to get something passed using their small majorities in the House and Senate. Congress is looking at other deadlines as well, including raising the nation's debt ceiling. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying last week she believes a debt limit will be reached on December 15th. An overdue book, as Michael Kastner tells us, finally back at the Boise Public Library 110 years after it was checked out.
The new Chronicles of Rebecca was checked out of the Idaho Capitol's old Carnegie Library on November 8, 1911. The sequel to the classic novel Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm was returned last week. Library assistant Anne Marie Martin said the book is in good to excellent condition. It will now be kept in the library's history room where visitors can read it, but they're not taking any chances. It won't be checked out again.
13 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning, this beginning of Advent 2021. Up next, we speak with our good friends at the wonderful organization Pro-Life Group Susan B. Anthony List about their campaign to get information out about the importance of the case coming up this week. And we'll also talk about other pro-life issues with Mallory Quigley. She's a VP of Communications for Susan B. Anthony List. Jim Kavnar, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, back with us as we move into Giving Tuesday tomorrow. And don't forget, be in the giving mood, and don't forget to support Ave Maria Radio, EWTN, and your Catholic radio affiliate in your neighborhood, because we work together to bring you 24/7 Catholic programming, and we exist on your support. First, your prayers, and then whatever you can do to support us financially. As Mother Angelica used to say, Father Mitch and the gang always say, keep us between your gas and electric bills. 14 minutes past the hour on a Monday. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
In my house, I always knew I was adopted. My mom and dad were always willing to answer questions, but I could tell that there was some emotion surrounding questions that I had. When my mom told me that my birth mother had gone in to have an abortion procedure and I was born alive, I was shocked, one, just because I thought I already knew everything. At the same time, I'm so thankful to be here. It's not just about the lives of babies, but I also have great empathy for women. I think that there's things that we can do to make unplanned pregnancies a better situation for women. Our medical advances are so much better than even when I was born. We know what the preborn baby looks like and what they can feel and what they sense. It bothers me greatly that there's laws in place that allow babies to be aborted up until the birth day. As somebody who survived an abortion, I would want to tell the Supreme Court that my life mattered. It's time to make a change.
Wow. That's one of the many new ads released by the Susan B. Anthony List, and really well done. And on the phone with us is Mallory Quigley, the Director of Communications of the Susan B. Anthony List. They're all so well done, and what I like is that they're very calm, but they're also, they raise questions, and they bring out points, Mallory. And I was saying this at the top of the hour in introducing the fact that you were coming up today. Introduce questions to people that maybe people haven't asked themselves or others, and also facts about what Roe v. Wade gave us, facts which many people are still unaware of. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love this ad campaign, and exactly what you said. We just want to prompt questions in people's hearts and minds about abortion and let people know in a gentle way where the United States is. You know, we are a global outlier because of Roe and seven unelected men in one day, one Supreme Court decision, you know, that completely just ignored the democratic process, the fact that lawmakers, not unelected judges, are supposed to make laws, that we have abortion on demand up until the moment of birth in this country, including late-term abortion, such that babies survive failed abortions, like this, the ad that you just heard. We've got a young woman who was adopted, whose mom chose life, and the joy that she's representing unborn children for those who didn't make it, you know. And there's another ad with two pro-life doctors, actually,
right.
who performed abortions
right.
prior to a conversion on the issue. And we need to wake people up, because even a lot of pro-life people, Teresa, don't realize how extreme our nation's abortion laws are.
I was just saying that at the top of the hour. We assume that everyone in the pro-life movement, you know, most of our listeners, I would hope, are pro-life. They're listening to us for a reason. And they may not know just how extreme Roe v. Wade is.
That's exactly it. And when you think that we've got this incredible opportunity coming up, that the oral arguments happening at the Supreme Court on Wednesday in the Dobbs late abortion case, this is the chance, the first real opportunity that the court has to correct that injustice, correct that wrong of Roe versus Wade, and once again allow states to pass laws that reflect the values of the people that live there. Like Mississippi, they want to have a ban on abortion after 15 weeks. And that is actually very moderate compared to, you know, we look to Western Europe, not for everything, but for a lot of things, you know, mostly food and culture. But most European nations limit abortion at 15 weeks, if not earlier. Most mm-hmm. are at 12, 13 weeks. And so even for people who are not pro-life, but maybe they're just, uncomfortable about abortion, think about that. You know, the fact that our laws, our country's laws are line up more closely with China and North Korea. Mm-hmm. And instead of our European allies who limit abortion at 12 and 13 weeks. So that's the 15-week bill and law that Mississippi tried to pass. That is what is at the heart of this case. But it is going, the court has said it's going to reconsider a question that is so much bigger than just Mississippi's law. They're going to ask and answer whether the Constitution really does have a so-called right to abortion, which we know it doesn't, and whether states can pass laws that protect babies before they're capable of surviving outside the womb on their own. I would argue that, you know, none of us can really survive outside right. the womb on our own without relying on somebody. It's a very interesting case, but this is the most significant opportunity to save lives that we've had in 50 years. And so I hope all the listeners out there, please pray for the oral arguments on Wednesday.
We're talking with Mallory Quigley. She is the communications director for Susan B. Anthony List, talking about obviously the big case on Wednesday, but their powerful ad campaign. Now, I noticed in the networks and these stations that are running these ads, did you get any pushback at all in terms of trying to get these ads on the air?
Surprisingly not. I was very, very relieved, because in the past when we have tried to run ads, we have gotten pushback from some of the larger, not necessarily the stations themselves, but like the parent companies that that run a lot of these television stations. And all of the ads that we've sent for distribution on television have been run, and some of them are digital ads that are being texted and shown directly to Americans on their computers. So we've had no problem thus far, fingers crossed, you know. And I can thank Mother Angelica for interceding, you know, a great broadcaster, and probably St. John Chrysostom, these great saints of communication. So right. So we're relieved about that. But yeah, I think that the ads really, they are gentle but very powerful,
right.
And just prompt people to have an internal conversation. That's all we really need in the pro-life movement, because the truth is on our side, and the truth is written on the human heart. Like, we just need people to have these like quiet moments of reflection, because people mm-hmm. know what is right and what is wrong.
Right. I want to give people the website where they can view these beautiful ads, modernizeourlaw.com, modernizeourlaw.com. They began running on November 17th, and they're running through the end of today. And they're part of an ongoing ad campaign of the Susan B. Anthony List. And a number of the networks that are carrying these ads, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox News, Newsmax, CNBC, and CNN Networks. And as you said, Mallory, in addition, the ads will be circulating via targeted text and digital ads. What kind of response, since they've been running for a few days, actually 12 days, what type of response are you seeing and hearing on the ads so far?
Yeah, we've gotten really positive feedback, especially from some of the ads featuring the doctors, who are speaking with such authority. Mm-hmm. Dr. DeCoco, she's a doctor in, I believe, in Indianapolis, and Dr. John Buchalski, who's here in Virginia. He himself performed abortions before becoming pro-life. And they can speak with such authority to what is happening inside the womb, the advancements in medical technology since 1973, you know. Mm-hmm. When Roe was decided, viability, the concept, was considered to be at 28 weeks gestation. Now, in the ensuing years, that has moved up to 21, 22 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so we see that how arbitrary this concept is just over time, that it's changed so much. And, you know, the ad featuring a young woman named Annie who was adopted.
Yeah, that was really good. Well, we'll play the other two, the one with Dr. John and also Annie when we come back. But that the one with Annie was really moving. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, he has children that were adopted. And I think that this is something that people can really appreciate, that if the mothers had not chosen life for these babies, how incomplete our families and our communities might otherwise be. And of course, that is true for the children who, you know, whose mothers don't choose life. You know, how many children who are missing from this world who were designed and sent with a purpose.
Not to mention how many women and families have been impacted and are still struggling with post-abortion issues. There's just a whole other area that people don't talk about outside the pro-life movement, and sometimes not even in our own circles, because there are so many issues connected with it. More with the communications director from the Susan B. Anthony List, Mallory Quigley. We'll also play a couple of more of the ads. You can find them all at modernizeourlaw.com. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm an obstetrician and gynecologist. Over the course of my career, I have delivered thousands of babies. I regret that during early training, I performed dozens of abortions. As I gained wisdom and as I gained insight, I realized that there were really two patients, the mom as well as the child developing inside. We now have done studies where we know that by the time of a 15-week-old baby, there's thousands of pain receptors throughout the child's body. A child at 15 weeks can actually hear and respond to the voice of its mom. I find it amazing that when it comes to the care of human life at its most vulnerable stages, we are relying on science and medicine that is over 50 years old. Science has made incredible progress in obstetrics and gynecology. I think it's about time for the law to catch up to the science. I think it's time that the court corrects itself and limits late-term abortions.
That is so well stated, and especially the fact that, you know, while we're here now, Mallory, is follow the science, and yet they're going by science that, as he said, is nearly 50 years old. Think about that.
Yeah, and it was outdated at the time. I mean, you know, if you read the actual decision of Roe versus Wade, you know, it's so unscientific. I mean, the court is just really grasping. This is something that my predecessors in the pro-life movement like always said. You know, if you read the decision, it's silly. And right. I didn't get it until, like, I actually started reading the language and you're like, oh my gosh, the Supreme Court justice wrote this. It's nonsensical. And to think that, yeah, in this day and age, with everything going on with COVID and the vaccines, and which is obviously an entirely separate issue, but yeah, to hear everybody keep talking about science, 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 science. Okay, we have indisputable science and medicine and research that from people on all sides of the abortion issue. In fact, Dr. John Bachman, who is a scholar with our research arm, the Lozier Institute, co-wrote an article with a man who had been vehemently against the idea of the fellow researcher and doctor, vehemently against the idea that the unborn child feels pain. But just we cited it in one of our amicus briefs. He actually has recanted his former position and said that there is actually indisputable evidence that says the baby feels pain, certainly by 15 weeks, if not earlier, if not at 12, you know, if not earlier than that. So there's still a lot to learn, but we know so much more than we did in 1973, and the fact that we are allowing the killing of unborn babies throughout all 9 months of birth. You know, here in Virginia, I mean, nobody can forget Delegate Kathy Tran saying, you know, being asked, would your bill allow abortion, you know, as the mother is in labor, you know, as the baby's in the birth canal? And she said, yes. Mm-hmm. And that, but that's only because Roe allows that.
Right.
And when you think about, you know, the technology, the, you know, every age group, every population, you know, there's been such advances, such amazing technologies in science. You know, I saw a commercial last night for an HIV medication, you know, like that we've come so far in treating HIV and AIDS that people affected with that can live such full lives. And, you know, but why are the unborn denied the amazing resources that we have? Why are we still looking at the unborn through the eyes of 1970s medicine when it comes to, you know, abortion, when elsewhere, you know, up at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, they're just, you know, they're saving babies earlier and earlier.
Well, my grandnieces are preemies. They're 5 years old now, thanks be to God, but they were born at 22 weeks. 22 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Identical
twins.
It's
amazing. And Teresa, everybody has something like that, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody knows someone in their family or in their community, at their church, you know, a parent a mom who's had a preemie, a parent who's gotten a negative prenatal diagnosis, you know, somebody said, oh, your baby's incompatible with life, and they've had to fight for their child, you know, and either, you know, the humanity of that baby doesn't change so often. You know, this happened to one of my best friends who gave birth 6 months ago, and she was told that her baby was going to die, that he had an incompatible with life condition, and he's perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much very so small, but he's growing, but he's a perfectly healthy 6-month-old, and he's going to be fine. But all of this doesn't, you know, health is not an indicator of humanity.
Right.
And
the dignity of the human person. Yeah. Mallory, we only have about 2 minutes left. I want to play the spot of the young woman who was adopted.
Oh, please do.
And by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Mallory Quigley. She's the communications director for the Susan B. Anthony List. And we're talking about this very powerful campaign that actually wraps up today. It's been going for about 12 days. Beautiful spots that are airing on major broadcasting cable stations in the Washington, D.C. market, including CBS, ABC, NBC, and they're also targeting these ads online as well. Here is the beautiful spot that was put together about a young woman, Annie Fitzgerald, who was adopted. Take a listen.
My adoptive parents are Jill and Jeff Fitzgerald. They adopted me when I was 6 months old. They just gave me a really good life full of good opportunities that I never would have had I not been adopted. It's a difficult thought, but my life may not have mattered. I could have been an abortion. I am so grateful that my birth mom chose adoption. I'm grateful she chose life. Everyone has a purpose and a plan in their life, and they deserve a chance to get to fulfill that. For someone to think it's okay to have an abortion all the way through 9 months, it's extreme. Nobody wants to see a baby that is fully developed be killed in an abortion. I think it's time that the Supreme Court places limits on abortion. Follow the science. It's the 21st century. We have sonograms. We have 3D ultrasounds. It's a human life. And like everyone else, it deserves a chance to live. It's definitely time for the Supreme Court to follow the science and modernize the laws.
ModernizeOurLaw.com is a website. Now, Mallory, I'm hoping you're going to keep this website out there so we can continue to share it with people, because the information on here is really, really important. And on the homepage, it says, isn't it time the law reflects the science?
Yes, that website is going to remain up. You know,
good.
This is, the oral arguments are on Wednesday, but there's going to be so much, you know, the legal battle, so much of it is happening this week, but we still have a massive public opinion culture campaign that we all have to be a part of. You know, we're not expecting the Supreme Court decision to be announced, the ruling on this, till June of next year. And so in between now and then, and even post-June, whatever the decision is going to be, we've got to keep educating all of our fellow Americans about the situation that we're in and the reality of the humanity of the unborn, and just keep working to make this a pro-life nation. Because even once our laws change, we still have to change hearts and minds.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We have to, if we're going to really change the culture long-term, in addition to the laws, we have to change hearts. Mallory, thanks for this. Great job in this campaign. ModernizeOurLaw.com. ModernizeOurLaw.com. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
There's a simple step to raising a more grateful child. I used to say, easy, eliminate half of their material possessions. I don't say that anymore. That's ridiculous. I say 75%. They don't even miss 50. 22 stuffed animals, you go down to 11. Not exactly a hardship. Simple step to raising a more grateful child. Don't be so free with the material stuff. Research has shown more generous people, by and large, have less. You give a child less, he's more willing to share it. He also is more able to occupy himself with things like boxes and dirt balls and rocks, worms, stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Hope your Monday, first week of Advent, is going well. Always great to catch up with our friend Jim Kavanagh from Cross Catholic and talking about their beautiful efforts to really help those in need around the world and their gift of joy, their box of joy, I should say. Jim, always great to have you on the program, and especially during Advent. The Holy Father reminded Christians that an essential ingredient for living an alert and joyful life is prayer. And he mentioned this at his Angelus message yesterday, of course, beginning Advent, reflecting on the readings in the gospel. But he also said that we have to stay awake and we have to not be numb. We can't obviously, you know, we say, okay, there's so much bad news in the world, I just want to block it out. We can't allow ourselves to get depressed and overwhelmed, but at the same time, we can't just sit there and you know, act like there's nothing going on that doesn't need our attention. We have to make sure that we're aware of others in need. That was a big point of his yesterday. Just your thoughts on that as we start our discussion this morning.
Yeah, and this time before Christmas when we're all doing our gift shopping and thinking about that, it's a great time to think about, you know, children overseas who don't ever receive a Christmas gift. And Box of Joy, is, as you know, is our program enabling families to pack a gift box, and it'll be sent overseas and be given to a child who would otherwise never get a Christmas gift. So it's a way to become more aware, help your children become more aware of poverty in the world and give something tangible, you know, that they could do. Now, when I talked to you back in September, you asked me how many boxes did we hope to do this year. Well, last year wasn't real great. It was only 61,000. But our goal this year was 100,000. So I just talked to the woman just a few minutes ago who's in charge of this program. And all the boxes have been coming in from all over the country. And we're already at over 100,000.
Oh, that's great.
And it's not too late for people to participate. I mean, the churches and schools and all, you know, have gotten people mobilized, collected the boxes. We've picked them up. They're at our warehouse in Miami being screened. But people can go online to boxofjoy.org, and they can make a donation of $34. $9 covers the shipping, like all, but $25 covers the contents, and then we'll do the packing. We'll pack the box for them. So you can still do that. Last year we got about 4,000 boxes that way, and this year we expect a lot more than that. So we're going to be over 100,000.
We're talking with Jim Kavner, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, specifically today about Box of Joy and also their efforts to really make a difference. Now, how do you decide which area of the world, which country you're going to target in terms of Box of Joy each year, Jim?
Well, we started with those that are nearby in Central America, where there's extreme poverty, as we're all learning. So many people are trying to flood into the U.S. in desperation. So we started in those countries. And then we've been expanding. This year we're going to be adding, we expanded into Haiti, Dominican Republic. This year we're adding Colombia and South America. So we're basically, as the program grows, we're taking on more and more countries. But in all the countries, it'll be, you know, through the local Catholic diocese or Catholic schools or Catholic parishes that we're already working with and supporting their efforts for the poor. We're already doing that. And this is something special, especially for the children, and something that, you know, is a tremendous blessing for the kids, and of course their parents love it because they know their children would never get a gift otherwise.
Yeah. Is there a possibility, and I'm just throwing this out there, given that so many people are still being affected by COVID, the fallout, businesses shutting down, people being, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck, is there a possibility of doing Box of Joy for Americans? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, we've actually done that a little bit, but our ministry really is to the poor overseas because they're in so much greater need, and they don't have the safety nets that we have here the amount of volunteerism and programs that we have in the U.S. So there was an exception made one time a year or so ago for some kids in the U.S., but it's really oriented overseas, and we're an international church. And so we want to look broader than just our own backyard. We should be doing things to help the poor. I mean, we have Operation Christmas Tree or whatever it's called in our parish every year.
You
buy a gift and it's for a child in your local area. So, but this is something that can be done overseas. It's tangible and meaningful and joyful.
Now, you were saying during the break, as we were prepping for the interview, that this is your favorite time of year as a Catholic Christian. Why is that?
Well, I think it's my favorite time of year because it's looking forward, you know, to the the final return of Christ. It's building the anticipation, expectation. It's remembering the coming of Christ. Just this morning in our Bible study, we're reading Matthew 2 about the Magi coming to worship Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the music and the sense of anticipation and longing, you know, for the total fulfillment that will come at the end of time and the return of Christ. All of that, to me, is just makes it one of the most joyful times of the year. And, of course, I it's associated with Christmas coming, which mm-hmm. is, you know, we grow up as kids. That's our happiest time of the year. It spills over even to our life as adults.
Yeah. And I think, too, we were talking during the break how people just rush, or the culture just rushes through everything, right? I mean, by July, they're talking about Christmas. By August, Halloween, you know, commercialism, the different items for Halloween are out. And then you move into Christmas right away. And then you're already, right after Christmas, people throwing their trees away and then moving on to New Year's. And then, of course, even before you're out of New Year's, you're seeing Valentine's items on the shelves.
Well, one of the great things in the Catholic Church is the way we celebrate Advent. You know, I mean, we have our Advent wreath set up and our four candles on it. You know, and every night, you know, we're lighting one candle, and the next mm-hmm. week it's two, et cetera. And we have prayers for Advent. So it kind of slows down that acceleration to Christmas, you know, and it gives you a way to concentrate on the glory of the coming of Christ and the joy of the fulfillment of all those prophecies in the Old Testament. And it makes the event of Advent truly an event that kind of slows things down. Sure, you're already shopping, you're thinking ahead, but you're in the present moment, you know, celebrating Advent. And I think that's one of the best things that we can do in Advent, is treat it as a season of the year as it's meant to be and celebrate it.
We're talking with Jim Kavnar from, of course, Cross Catholic Outreach about the Box of Joy. So if people want to help out, what can they do?
Well, go to our website, crosscatholic.org. There you'll see that we're all set up for Giving Tuesday. That's coming up tomorrow. So it's another way that you can participate in helping the poor. And this time we're focusing on housing in Guatemala. We're going to try to build 107, you know, great concrete houses with, you know, metal roofs and, you know, secure doors and windows and all of that, and wash basins and the clean air stove, you know, wonderful houses. So that's our concentration there. And you can also then find the Box of Joy site that way and be able to still pack a box virtually. We'll do the work. We have volunteers who will do it. And you just make a contribution to cover that cost.
All right. Jim, great to speak with you. Have a happy Advent. Look forward to keeping in touch. Of course, as Jim said, so much we can do to help those in need, and this is what we need to do, as our Holy Father stressed, not to get so numb to the situation in the world. Boxofjoy.org, and also Cross Catholic Outreach, or actually crosscatholic.org. Coming up, we'll chat with Gail Buckley for our scripture verse of the week, Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's a Monday, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is Speak of the Devil, Spiritual Warfare. This EWTN original docudrama based on the parable of the prodigal son imparts valuable insights on how to be battle ready in the spiritual war we all face. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
49 minutes past the hour. It is a Monday, wrapping up as we always do with our scripture verse of the week from our dear sister Gail Buckley with Catholic Scripture Study. So this is a good one, especially as we enter into the season of, all the different gatherings and activities. It's very, I think, apropos for the season. Thanks, Gail, for joining us. And tell us the verse.
Sure. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, and it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And as you said, we're now in Advent, and we're not only looking forward to celebrating Christ's birthday, but we're also looking forward to his second coming. But first, we're anticipating the celebrations of his birth, and we have to try not to get too carried away with the secular aspects of Christmas. You know, as Catholics, we know that Christmas officially doesn't begin until Christmas Eve, but that's not the case with others, and it can be really difficult to wait until Christmas to start celebrating, especially when we start celebrating. There are no more Christmas, there's no more Christmas music being played on the radio, and there's no Christmas movies on TV, and just as we're putting up our decorations, our friends and neighbors are taking theirs down. And
I just said that. It drives me crazy, right?
Yeah, I know it, but I can't stand it. So if we're, if you're like me and you're already decorating and you're exchanging gifts and attending parties during Advent instead of waiting until Christmas, you can still keep the true spirit of Christmas alive and witness to others. And as our verse today says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You know, there's so many ways, Teresa, that we can give glory to God and help others remember what, Advent and Christmas is really about. And for instance, in preparing for Advent, we can do good things like giving to the poor and serving at soup kitchens or homeless shelters or providing gifts for needy families, visiting the sick and the homebound, or inviting a lonely person to lunch or dinner. We can visit prisoners and send Christmas cards to old friends we haven't seen.
Yeah, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, it's spiritual works of mercy. And to help others to remember the true meaning of Christmas, we can also do a lot. We don't have to preach, but there are so many small things we can do. We can just say a Merry Christmas. You know, nowadays so many people think that saying Merry Christmas is offensive because not everyone believes in Christ. Of course, they say Happy Holidays, but we should always say Merry Christmas. It's not just a holiday. It's Christ's birthday. So we never should, get into the habit of saying Happy Holidays. We should say Merry Christmas.
Well, what's the whole reason for the season, right? I mean,
exactly,
obviously, you could say Happy Hanukkah to a Jewish friend. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
But Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Amen. And if we don't tell people about Christ, who will? No one. So it's up to us to, to show the love and the peace and joy that those of us who know Christ that we have. And so, like, if we were serving a meal at a homeless shelter, for instance, when we hand them the plate, we could say something like, Merry Christmas, God bless you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when we visit, homebound people, we can, talk about Christmas and Jesus. And, if you invite a lonely friend or neighbor to lunch or dinner, you bring Jesus into the conversation.
And also your decorations can reflect Christmas versus just, snowmen and Santa, the light of Christ. And, we have a family on our street that they always decorate to the hilt, but I was telling my husband I want to go over to their house and put a big manger in the middle of other snowmen
exactly.
And Snoopies. And
to remind them what the reason is instead of a blow-up Santa Claus. I mean, they've got blow-up dragons and stuff. I mean, at Christmas, what the heck?
These
crazy things they see out there.
They do have mangers that do a manger, do a cross, as the Dominic. Oh, look, there's enough room in the front lawn to stick a cross or a manger scene. Not that I would, I can't go over and trample on somebody's property, but I'm trying to see when they're outside so I can go over and talk to them and say, hey, what about this? And thanks for decorating the neighborhood, but, it is Christmas, and, well, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes. I'll report back to you, but... Well, Gail, thanks so much. I want to give out the verse again, and it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And where do we find out more information about Catholic Scripture Study? Because this is a great time to think about maybe getting somebody the gift of Catholic Scripture Study, right?
Yes, that would be a great present. And we have Advent studies as well. Father Mitch Pacwa has done one. Leon Supernot has done one for CSS, for Catholic Scripture Study, that they can order from cssprogram.net or stbenedictpress.com.
Ooh, that would be great, having an Advent study. That's awesome.
Yes. And, of course, there's so many other studies, like you said, that they can give, you know, for Christmas that they can use at another time.
All right. What's the website one more time before we let you go?
cssprogram.net.
Here you go. All right. Well, talk next week. Looking forward to our continued discussion during Advent, which just began yesterday, a new year in the church. Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study. And again, the scripture verse for today, brothers and sisters, is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we can certainly do that, or especially do this during the Advent and the Christmas season, which, hard to believe, is already upon us. Yesterday began, as my husband said in his homily, a new year. Happy New Year in the church. It is a Monday morning. Coming up tomorrow on Giving Tuesday, we will keep you informed as to what's going on in and around the world and latest developments, especially as it relates to all the pro-life activity going on this week with that Dobbs case. I do want to encourage you to check out CatholicNewsAgency.com. Matt Hadro has a great full report on the significance of this case that's coming up on Wednesday. Also want to remind you to check out the Susan B. Anthony List and their beautiful website, which is all about the truth in terms of the law. And you can just go to, modernizeourlaw.com, modernizeourlaw.com. And that will be a great link to share with people to educate on the life issues. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.